What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
From the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, this is the Home Plate Podcast with Ryan Bort and Calvin Smith. Talking all things baseball in the city of Nashville.
Just a bit outside.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome in to another off-season edition of the Home Plate Podcast. Ryan Bort, Calvin Smith here with you. Big news in Major League Baseball, and it pertains to this area right here, Middle Tennessee. Tuesday evening, Mookie Betts and David Price traded from Boston to L.A. for next to nothing. Calvin, your thoughts.
Wow. So, first of all, everybody clap it up for the L.A. Dodgers. Remember the team who I said at the beginning of our podcast last season, I brought out the hot take that the L.A. Dodgers would not win the NL West.
They won 106 games.
Stupid.
And they just added Mookie freaking Betts.
Stupid, Calvin. I definitely won't be making that same prediction. But I
don't feel so bad. I once predicted the Cubs and the Royals back in like 05 or 06 would meet in the World Series. And we all know how that worked out. So don't feel so bad.
So I was scrolling through Twitter and I saw this. Sam Dykstra at Sam Dykstra MILB tweeted this. So before the Dodgers went and got Mookie Betts, they had five prospects in the MLB's top 100 prospects rankings: Gavin Lux, Dustin May, Jeter Downs, Josiah Gray, Kiber Ruiz. They come out of this trade after getting Mookie Betts and former Cy Young winner David Price, both Middle Tennessee natives, with all five of them not giving up a single top 100 prospect, Gavin Lux being the number two prospect in baseball right now.
How do the Red Sox trade away the second or third best player in baseball and David Price and give up money and not get one of those top five prospects? Alex Verdugo is a nice player, but
very nice.
I feel bad for Verdugo because he's going to go to Boston and everyone is just going to pummel him up there if he doesn't have all-star seasons, because he is going to be the guy that was traded for Mookie Betts or acquired for Mookie
Betts.
And
he's never going to live up to that. Like, Alex Verdugo has never been that.
It's like when Preds fans here bash on Martin Erat because he was traded to Washington for Philip Forsberg. And now Forsberg has blossomed into one of the best goal scorers the Preds franchise has ever had, and Marty Erat did next to nothing. You know, like, Verdugo is going to get that same treatment, and if he goes out there and hits 260 or 270, less than 20 bombs,
which he very well might. I mean, it's not even like
he's not a guarantee in terms of a future all-star. He's a nice young player, but man, that is all Boston gets out of that, and they get a prospect from Minnesota.
Brustar Greiterol.
Yeah, good job pronouncing the name a lot better than I would have. A part of the three-team trade, because Kenta Maeda goes from L.A. to Minnesota. So they get Verdugo and
Brustar Greiterol
for Mookie Betts and David Price. That's it. That's all they got. That is all they got for one of the best players of our generation. And he is only entering his prime.
That moment of silence right there, that split couple seconds,
yeah,
is me trying to figure out like how this all came to fruition, right? Because the Dodgers made a way like bandits in a way that's going to win them the World Series next year. Like, if they aren't the favorites, who is?
They are 4-1 favorites in Vegas.
Yes, and for good reason. So I just think, if this is what it took, why'd it take so long, it felt like? Because we've been talking about this for a while now, and probably a lot of that was the Red Sox own doing, them trying to see the situation, scope it out with Mookie, get a good feel for how everything was going to play out, and then pull the trigger. But if you're a team who's contending, obviously the Red Sox and Yankees probably aren't going to make this trade. But if you look at a team like the Braves or the Reds want to make a lot of moves, or some other team out there who's contending in the American League or the National League, be it whoever, why don't you just offer a little bit more because it's going to be absolutely worth it and find a third team that can work it out like the Dodgers did?
For I know the Reds comp is Nick Senzel and Tony Santian.
You do that.
For Mookie Betts and David Price money?
I mean, Nick Senzel might be a better prospect than Alex Verdugo.
And Santian is a little worse than...
Yeah, because Nick Senzel was a top 10 prospect at one point.
Sure. So was Verdugo, but Senzel probably has a higher ceiling.
You would assume he does.
Than Verdugo?
Yes.
That's a Reds comp. Here's the bottom line. Andrew Friedman was brilliant in this, in the fact that he waited until February 4th to pull the trigger on this deal and not November 4th. If he pulled it on November 4th, he's probably giving up one or multiple of the top five prospects that you just named.
Yep.
But he waited and waited and waited and knew that they had the leverage in that situation, because Boston, if they didn't make it public themselves, they essentially did, that they wanted to trade Mookie Betts. At that point, their leverage is shot.
Yes, and it has been. We've been talking about it on this podcast for a while now, at least 5 months.
And if Mookie Betts goes into this season as a Boston Red Sox,
I mean,
huge distraction. You know he's going to leave and hit free agency at the end of the season.
And they needed, from what it looks like, I mean, the Red Sox should be able to afford to pay Mookie Betts. Like, the Red Sox saying, we want to cut back on the cap to not pay Mookie Betts is lame, because they're one of the richest organizations in pro sports.
They just don't want to go into the luxury tax threshold.
Exactly.
And Mookie Betts is a player that you find a way to keep, even if you have to go into that threshold for a season or
two.
And
they're filthy rich. I mean, they've been at it for a few years now. But there has to be other spots on your roster that you're willing to sacrifice for a superstar like Mookie Betts, given maybe he didn't want to be in Boston, and if he doesn't want to be there, then their logic was trade him.
Mm-hmm. So here's what the Dodgers essentially acquired and traded yesterday, because there was another deal with the LA Angels. They sent Jock Peterson to the Angels.
Yes.
So essentially yesterday, this is the work that Andrew Friedman pulled off. He acquired Mookie Betts, David Price, Luis Renjifo, the young infielder for the Angels, money from the Red Sox, paying a portion of Price's salary, and if Mookie Betts declines a qualifying offer and hits free agency in the winter,
which if you're Mookie Betts, you're going to decline likely, that qualifying offer because you're going to get big money.
Then they get a first round pick. And they traded away Alex Verdugo, Jock Peterson, and Kenta Maeda.
Say those names again.
Alex Verdugo, Jock Peterson, and Kenta Maeda.
Jock Peterson made a few headlines here and there, hit a lot of home runs. Alex Verdugo, highly thought of prospect, and Kenta Maeda, take him or leave him.
Jock Peterson is better than the home run derby than he is in real life.
Absolutely.
Maeda is serviceable, but so is David Price. So that was a wash.
And Price, you're getting some of the discount on the contract.
Yes. And at Price's best, he's better than Maeda.
Absolutely.
So then it essentially comes down to Mookie Betts for Alex Verdugo. Just because the Red Sox wanted to get underneath the luxury tax threshold and get rid of David Price's contract.
What must these other teams have been talking about? Because, like, I'm sure there were rumors swirling across the MLB front offices, mm-hmm. or the different front offices of these teams, right? So, like, obviously, if Mookie Betts is on the market, you're going to test the waters a little bit. So in, like, a preliminary talk with other teams, how low must the offers been? How down must the league have been on the Red Sox ability to pay Mookie Betts to the point where they're lowballing him, where this is the offer that gets accepted?
I mean, the San Diego Padres were rumored to be in the talks as well, in the trade negotiations.
They're
because
prospect
they have
rich
a
too.
Strong farm system. But the Dodgers, as you pointed out, didn't even have to give up one of their top five of, like, all of them are included in the top 100 in all of baseball.
Maybe it just, when I just think about this in terms of the scope of the league, like, I think, how is it that the Dodgers were able to do this? Like, I guess the Red Sox aren't planning on contending, right?
they're not planning on spending money. That's what they're planning on.
Do the Dodgers expect to sign Mookie Betts? Because I could see why that would deter another team from, okay, well, maybe we don't want to give something up for a one-year player.
Well, look, the Dodgers
are
simply going for it.
And they're winning. They're doing it perfectly.
All right, let me ask you this. Let's just take Mookie Betts out of this in terms of what they traded and what they acquired. They acquired David Price, Luis Renjifo, and a first-round draft pick if Betts goes to free agency and doesn't accept their qualifying
yes.
offer. For Alex Verdugo, Jock Peterson, and Kenta Maeda, would you still do that? You take Mookie Betts out of it, and it was Verdugo, Peterson, Maeda for Price, Renjifo.
No, I probably wouldn't, but it's not like I'm looking at that deal and saying, oh, no, definitely not. I mean, I thought about
exactly
it a little bit.
That's exactly my point.
And then you add in a former MVP.
Mookie freaking Betts, the pride of Overton High School. I feel bad for JD Martinez, who opted in for 2020, and now he's stuck.
I mean, JD Martinez doesn't opt in. Maybe this is a bit different story because the Red Sox aren't on the hook for the money.
Maybe they don't have to trade Betts.
Maybe they have more money in their pockets and they're willing to do something a bit more sensible.
Or they don't have to trade David Price. Maybe that...
I think maybe getting rid of David Price was every bit of as big of a deal to them as getting rid of Mookie Betts, because David Price was very unhappy there as well. A story just walking around everywhere. Mm-hmm. David Price did not get along with the Boston media.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of how
famously with Dennis Eckersley on the plane a couple years ago.
So that stuff with David Price, I'm sure they wanted to get rid of. And it all just culminates in this?
What a poor management of assets.
Boston Red Sox. I mean, a famed organization. An organization that has been pretty well run for the last two decades.
This comes across as small market stuff. And they are the Boston Red Sox. This is embarrassing for them. Embarrassing. Completely embarrassing.
I mean, because when I try to see this from the Red Sox perspective, what has to be going on with the owners? What has to be going on in the meetings where they're talking about this stuff and they're basically forcing their hand, saying maybe we're trying to turn a bigger profit or something, or that they don't think that they have a roster contend, even though they juiced it up over the last few off seasons to be able to contend at this point. How close are they to their last World Series? Very.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2018. And now, since they won the World Series...
Normally, teams don't just go up in flames like that. Like, this isn't the NFL where rosters turn over every half season. Like, in baseball, you can have staying power. I still think the Astros will be able to contend for the next few seasons, despite what's happened to them. And then you look at the Red Sox, and all of a sudden, it's gone, it's evaporated. What kind of fire is going on behind the scenes that causes this to happen?
Since the Boston Red Sox won their 2018 World Series, they fired their GM, Dave Dombrowski, they fired their manager, Alex Cora, and they traded away Mookie Betts and David Price in a virtual salary dump. All in a matter of less than 16 months.
So, are they rebuilding now?
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they know what they're doing.
They could make the trade deadline so interesting if they're not competing. The assets that they have that are still good players on their roster.
Chris Sale, JD Martinez.
JD Martinez, all of these kind of guys.
Xander Bogaerts.
Xander Bogaerts is a hell of a shortstop.
He would look great with the Cincinnati Reds. Look, let's capitalize while this is going on, while the fire sale is going on at Fenway. What do you want for Xander Bogaerts?
The Braves better be on the phone.
Nah, the Reds need him more.
The Braves have a little bit of a shortstop problem, maybe.
Yeah.
They have been in the market.
Yeah.
But I just... The Red Sox clearly, with the market they're in, with everything going on with them, they're going to be a story throughout the season, even though they're probably going to be completely irrelevant. And if you're a player on this roster, how on earth are you not calling your agent and saying, get me out of here right now, because I have to go, because this is not good. Like when the Braves had their fire sale of Melvin, BJ Upton, Justin Upton, and Jason Hayward a few years ago, Freddie Freeman was very unhappy and decided he wanted to be traded. And they ended up working it out with the front office, all this stuff. But the Red Sox are in a position like this now where they're trading some, I guess, becoming veteran stars, even though Mookie Betts still has a lot left, just like Jason Hayward still had a lot left, just like Justin Upton still had a lot left.
I mean, the Red Sox still have a fair collection of young players. I mean, Rafael Devers, fantastic. Yeah. Andrew Benintendi, solid. Xander Bogaerts, really solid. I mean, J.D. Martinez has a good bat. It's not like now they're going to be Michael Chavis. 65-win team. Right. But they are clearly waving the white flag before the 2020 season even starts.
I'm not convinced that they won't be terrible, though. Because despite them having these good pieces, how many of them are what puts you over the top? And their rotation's been getting older.
You're saying you're not convinced they won't be terrible?
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be around 500. For the Red Sox, that's horrible. Especially in that division with the Yankees and the Rays.
That's kind of exactly what I'm thinking, is that is horrible. For them, for where they should be, for where they would have been, I mean, had this been all managed seemingly well, not even great.
I mean, the Yankees and the Rays have to be smiling after this and say, oh, we don't even have to worry about the Boston Red Sox this season.
They're throwing $1 million party
the
field.
Can you imagine if the Blue Jays get more wins this season than the Red Sox?
Well, with the new jerseys the Blue Jays unveiled, they deserve it.
Yes.
But...
And they have Vlad Jr.
And they have Bo Bichette.
And Kevin Biggio. Kevin Biggio. Yep.
I mean, the Blue Jays at least seem to be on a track where they're building something up, but the Red Sox are going in this completely opposite direction. Mm-hmm. And there's a way, like, let's justify the Red Sox and say, okay, you know what? They see it as their window was minimizing. They didn't want to spend this money, so they go into the rebuild mode. Well, they didn't get anything that can make you confident about the rebuild, because Alex Verdugo is an MLB-ready prospect, if you can even call him a prospect at this point. You can't, probably. I mean, he's a guy who's MLB ready. So unless you're going to find some way to turn this thing around quick and compete this year, next year, the year after that, whatever, Verdugo will be a part of that. But it doesn't look like they're trending in that direction to the point where they're going to be ready to go back soon, unless they're going to pour money back on the fire in 2 years.
Sure.
Which they may very well do that.
They just spent a crap load of money on Nathan Eovaldi last offseason, and now they're having to give up Price and Betts. What they've done since the World Series just doesn't make sense.
It's sad, really.
If I was a Boston Red Sox fan, and not just, you know, a bandwagon Red Sox fan, but a legit Red Sox fan living in Boston, I would be so put off.
If you're from Boston, then...
I saw a lot of Red Sox people on Twitter last night saying this is the least excited they have been going into a season ever with the Boston Red Sox.
Maybe this is it. Maybe the Red Sox as an organization were too desperate to continue pouring onto their fire. Like, they tried to pour too much gas, and then they realized the heap of trouble they were going to be in if they had to make one more move, and they knew they couldn't possibly do that given the circumstances they were in. And so it all just unfolds like this, where they trade their best player for nothing. It's got to be, right?
Has to be. How do you not get more than Verdugo and the Twins prospect? How?
I don't know.
Mookie freaking Betts. I know he's only under contract for one more year, but he is Mookie freaking Betts. He's top two or three player in the game.
I mean, like, you make it work for that. Like we said earlier, you make it work for that kind of guy. And just going back to what you said about being a Red Sox fan right now, I grew up across the street from people who are Red Sox fans. I haven't talked to them yet. I probably should. But,
or just let them grieve for a few days.
But I couldn't even, like, put my shoes in this because I haven't, like, I can't even get a grasp of the logic going on, right? So that kind of just leaves you dumbfounded. And that's not good when you're recording a podcast and trying to figure this out after it happens, that you're dumbfounded and can't figure out the logic to formulate, to explain or say something about it.
It's going
to
take a while for us to figure out the logic behind this.
That's the only option that we have, because we have to see what the Red Sox plan is if they have one. And that's a big if at this point.
I'm going to pull up Matt McCarthy's Twitter from last night.
Matt McCarthy, former guest on the show.
Former guest of the podcast back in December when all the Mookie Betts rumors started to flare up.
Very nice guy.
Very nice guy. And he was not happy last night. I found it interesting, his reactions on the fly. All right, his first reaction. John Henry should be ashamed of himself. This is a financial decision, not a baseball decision. A sad day for the Red Sox. Next tweet. Alex Verdugo is a nice player, but I'm fully expecting this return to be absolutely embarrassing. You know what, Matt? You were right. If this mystery second player is some random major leaguer, I will riot on Jersey Street, and I fully expect you all to join me. Someone tweeted, Gavin Lux, Dustin May. If one of those names isn't coming back in the Mookie deal, then don't bother even telling me.
Uh-oh.
Matt McCarthy. Preach, Wade. Preach. John Heyman tweets, Dodgers are expected to pay about half of Price's salary. He has $96 million to go over 3 years.
Half of Price's salary.
Matt McCarthy, half? Half? You used Mookie Betts to shed half of Price's salary.
Which, if this was the whole move that they're making, and they get a little bit less in return for what they got, like, that's a fine deal. But that's not even close to the scope.
Joel Sherman tweets out, I have confirmed the Twins are involved in this trade. Not yet that Dustin May is definitely in it. But Minnesota has been looking for high-end pitching potential. Matt McCarthy's response to this. If Dustin May gets traded in this deal and the Red Sox don't get him, ... Jesus, it keeps getting worse.
Things seem like they're going all right in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
The Patriots lose. The Dodgers steal Mookie Betts from them.
And then he goes, my God, what a joke. So embarrassing.
So if you're the Red Sox, where do you go from here? Like, if you're in their position right now, do you just rip it down, Ryan? And say, all right, we're done.
I don't know, man. Because
what's your objective by trading Mookie Betts? Like, what are you trying to gain out of that?
They're trying to get something for him, knowing that he's going to hit free agency next
they
winter.
They got something, and it's not enough to do anything with.
I agree. That is the only logic I can come up with trading Mookie Betts. But trading Betts and paying half of Price's salary for the next 3 years and only getting Verdugo and the prospect from Minnesota?
Brustar, Greaterol.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Clutch. Calvin Smith.
Clutch totally exists.
I'm at a loss for words.
Well, me too, and that's not good because we're doing a podcast.
I know. The point of doing a podcast is to talk, and we are both at a loss for words.
And we can't take calls. Like, this is pre-recorded. We can't get somebody's reaction to this, but here we are.
If I'm the Boston Red Sox, I'm probably... tearing it down when you have a decent core.
I don't see how you don't tear it down at this point. You have a decent core that's good for how many more years? One?
Benintendi, Bogarts, Devers. See, Devers is going to be a good player for a while, but Devers isn't going to be a catalyst for an organization.
Get ahead of this right now. Dump Sale for a prospect who's ready to go. You got Verdugo, who's played some time in the majors already. Is he going to be a stud? Probably not. Trade Sale, get rid of JD Martinez. Any asset that's even starting to hit their prime, get rid of it now. Retool for almost major league ready, any kind of major league ready prospect you can get. Because their farm system sucks too.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't drafted well. So they have to retool themselves. And if they want to take advantage of the parts that they do have on this roster that will be ready to go in 3 years still, then you've got to go find the prospects who teams might be a little bit down on. Go call the Atlanta Braves. Off the top of my head, Bryce Wilson, Kyle Wright, young pitchers who still have the upside.
Either your Braves or my Reds.
Yeah, either one of
them. Hey, what do you want for JD Martinez? The Reds don't have enough outfielders already. I mean, they already have like 9 outfielders. What's a 10th on the roster? Go get JD Martinez and just have an awful fielding outfield, but an outfield that just hits bombs all day.
And that's all you need to do in Great American Ballpark. There are plenty of teams, I'm sure, that want to pick up the phone for the Boston Red Sox calling now, given it doesn't take much to get their stars.
You mean Great American Small Park?
Yes.
Are we cool with haves and have-nots in Major League Baseball? And what I mean by that is, like, these power teams now. It feels little NBA-ish. Like, the Yankees, the Dodgers, let's say the Astros are still in that mix, even though they've gone through this whole scandal and they lost Garrett Cole. But yeah, they're still going to be a really good team. The Braves, I think, are on the second tier there behind those three teams. Mm-hmm. But there is a laundry list of awful teams in Major League Baseball. And then you have a laundry list of teams. Like, it's night and day. There's not a whole lot of in between.
You asked if I'm okay with it first. Me, as a huge advocate for the free market, yes. Because I think that basically when things, when you're like not putting your hands all over everything, things don't get as messy, right? So a lot of people criticize the NFL, and I'm pretty like morally opposed to the NFL having a salary cap, because I get that you need that for competitiveness and to make it even for these other teams. But at the same time, I feel like it stifles a lot of fairness in the game, right? So football, with the, like the injury nature of it, like people don't get these guaranteed salaries, and then it limits the amount of money they can make. So you shouldn't be doing that, because you should be letting people make these independent decisions for themselves and see how it functions, and then let the free market play out with the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm not convinced that it's bad for the product either. So I'm pretty okay with having haves and have-nots, because I think a lot of that will become cyclical in some aspect one way or the other over time, just like it has in baseball. The Yankees, perennially good, but they also go through stretches where they aren't in the World Series, and that forces innovation and forces the game to change. So from that aspect, like you see with Moneyball. Moneyball happened. Why? Because one team was at a huge disadvantage. So what did they do? They found a different way to do it that changed the way baseball moves. Mm-hmm. That's the advantage of this kind of a structure. So therefore, I'm okay with it.
I'm thinking of it as for like the game's popularity, the sport's popularity.
Yeah, I don't think that affects it. I don't think it affects it at all. I think it's good to have big name teams who every year you can come in and kind of bet on for 5-year windows, where you can say, Dodgers again, can they do it again?
Right. That's what Yankees, that's what I'm getting at.
Astros. I think that's good for the game. I think it's pretty good for basketball, as long as it's not 20 years of the same teams, you know?
Sure. And it's been cyclical.
Pretty much.
I mean, the Warriors and the Cavs went through their stretch, and now it's going to be probably the Lakers and whoever.
And it was the Lakers 10 years ago.
Sure.
And like, these things are going to cycle through themselves. And in baseball, like, it's kind of like the Yankees, the Lakers, they're both just going to be there. Like, because of just the history of the leagues, those teams don't go away. There's something special about those. So if you wanted to try to restrict that, I don't even really think you could, because people, if there was a max on how much money they could make, there would be a max on every team. And then it just comes down to, do you want to put on the pinstripes, or do you want to put on Cincinnati pinstripes?
Cincinnati doesn't wear any pinstripes.
They use, I was thinking about the ones with the black sleeves.
Yeah,
the black,
awful jerseys.
No, I like those.
No, not the black sleeves. The red sleeves. The black sleeves were awful.
I like the black
when
sleeves.
When they wore the red sleeves, those were beautiful. When they wore the black sleeves, sleeves, they were hideous.
It's funny how I went from Yankee pinstripes to Cincinnati red pinstripes that they don't even wear anymore.
But if you had 10 teams that all won 90 to 95 games, and the World Series field was completely wide open with that much parity, that isn't going to win any sort of ratings game for baseball.
No one's going to talk about it, because then who do you know who's playing?
You need the Dodgers to win 110 games this year. You need the Yankees to be right there relevant again this summer. And you have Yankees, Dodgers, or Astros. You know, the Astros have worked their way into this conversation.
People talk
legally
about the Astros,
or illegally, and have these giants in baseball
polarizing both coasts.
Sure.
That's what's huge too.
While also knowing that the playoffs in baseball is a complete crapshoot, even with those pillars in baseball.
Oh yeah.
The fact that the Washington Nationals won the World Series as a wild card when there were these big teams, they went through one of them, the Dodgers. And they went through another one in the Astros. Still knowing that the World Series is attainable for teams outside of that first tier, but you still have those giant teams.
There's still competitive balance. The Indians compete.
Sure.
The A's compete. The Rays
Twins
compete. The Braves compete. The Cardinals compete. The Cubs compete.
The Twins.
The Twins compete.
Yeah.
All these teams, not necessarily all big budget teams,
mm-hmm.
find a way to get it done. One, I think that's just a great part about baseball, is that despite, I think, the reputation it has, there are a lot of different ways to win a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams find that in different ways, where they're just not spending all the money. Is it maybe a little bit easier if you have a lot of money? Maybe it's a lot a bit easier, but you can still find a way to get it done. All these teams are evidence of that.
Just watch the Rays and Diamondbacks win their divisions instead of the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Ha! If the Diamondbacks win their division. That was my favorite team going down the stretch.
They got Starling Marte.
They did.
So they now have the Marte brothers. I don't think they're brothers, but...
That, Ketel Marte, Starling Marte, same thing, right?
That can be a marketing ploy for
I went out there to Phoenix over this last summer, and you know what? It was hot. I didn't particularly enjoy the game because the stadium wasn't that fun.
Great analysis. It was hot in Arizona.
It was hot in the desert.
Yeah.
Breaking news. It was hot. I didn't really enjoy it, but you know, hopefully they're good. I mean, maybe get somebody in there, because when I went there were like 5,000 people.
Just watch Nolan Arenado get traded to one of these Giants.
Oh.
And then the rich just get richer. Anyway.
Well, see, it's hard being a Braves fan and seeing the Dodgers do this and thinking, oh, I thought the Braves might be able to get out of the National League this year. But the team who already won it got way, way, way better.
Yeah. 106 wins and they got better.
Significantly better. Like, good enough to maybe... probably break the all-time record for wins in a season.
This is going to be close to what the Warriors were with Durant, Steph, Clay, Draymond.
Just, the Dodgers just haven't won the World Series yet. Like, if they'd won even one of those World Series, you'd be talking about them like that.
True.
Like, without a definitive...
But overall, just star power, Mookie, Bellinger, if you want to throw Seager's name in there. I mean, Corey Seager...
Seager carries a name.
He's healthy. That is an all-star caliber player who's probably going to be hitting sixth or seventh in that lineup. Kershaw, Bueller, Price.
It's a shame Kenley Jansen isn't the same guy.
Yeah.
I guess that's the only thing they got to figure out is the back end of the bullpen.
Yeah, they didn't figure it out in game five of the
No, they didn't. Not at all.
Against the Washington Nationals. All right, that's kind of our recap of the Mookie Betts trade. Wow. The Red Sox got fleeced in that trade with the LA Dodgers and the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
So now it is time, Calvin, for our favorite segment of the week, and that is Around the Horn.
All right. And as we get rolling on Around the Horn, we debated about how long ago it was, but Nick Castellanos signed a contract, Ryan, with your Cincinnati Reds, 4 years, $64 million. Woo! That's a good chunk of change, but you're not terrible. I mean, it's a four-year deal. Are you very optimistic now with your Cincinnati Reds that they're going to claim the NL Central because it's wide open?
Yes, I am. And here's why I'm optimistic, particularly about this signing, is that Castellanos has an opt-out after 1 year. So he is essentially in a contract year again. And we all saw what he did with the Cubs down the stretch.
A player opt-out?
Yes.
Okay.
So he could mash in Great American Small Park and help the Reds win the division. But he can opt out and get more money from another team or from the Reds. But I am happy that it wasn't a straight four-year deal, $64 million, and they were definitely on the hook for that long with him. They still could be.
I mean, I think they probably will be.
Especially if he underachieves.
Oh, yeah. Well, if he underachieves, then, which is hard to do there, but still.
But if he overachieves, then that is a good thing, because then you get great production out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can just bounce for more money.
Or he can renegotiate for more money with the Reds.
That too, and then be comfortable, and then be the Nick Castellanos that he kind of started his MLB career with. But Castellanos in right field, you know, he could probably play third base. I mean, Eugenio Suarez is going to miss the start of the year.
Yeah.
He got injured in a swimming pool accident. So Castellanos could play third.
What's a swimming pool accident? That just glazed over my brain. What's a swimming pool accident?
I don't know. Somehow he banged up his shoulder and
it's the winter time, Eugenio.
He probably doesn't live anywhere close to a 30-degree winter city. He's born and raised in Venezuela. He's probably somewhere in South America or the Caribbean. in the offseason.
I hope he's not in Venezuela.
Or somewhere warm where you are swimming in a pool. Clearly, because he injured his shoulder swimming in a pool and is probably going to miss the start of the season. Not by much, but Castellanos has a lot of versatility. That entire team has versatility. They have a great rotation. They have a pretty good bullpen. I like
the only question is, can they play defense?
That is a big question, and we will find out quickly.
Astros, obviously the big scandal, big fiasco. So they get Dusty Baker to come be their general manager. I mean, not their general manager. To come be their manager in the dugout. Now, I found this to be a very weird mix, because Dusty Baker, not the kind of new age, I guess you could say new age, analytics for the trigger word type of manager.
Not even close.
And then they go and get someone from the Rays, the most analytically inclined franchise in maybe all of professional sports in America, to come run their team. So it creates a weird mix. Dusty Baker back in Houston on a one-year deal. Does that just mean they bring back AJ Hinch?
Okay, I think you are overthinking the analytics part of this with Dusty Baker. Clearly, the Houston Astros need to get things back on track. Dusty Baker is a safe hire. Because
Very safe because
you know Dusty Baker is going to have them in the playoffs. They probably won't win the World Series.
I mean, I think anybody can have that team in the playoffs.
Sure, but you know, I mean, Dusty.
I mean, Dusty's a good manager.
A long track record of having teams in the playoffs. Yes. He also has a long track record of doing nothing when he gets to the playoffs. So, for 1 year, at age 70, he's going to be 71 in June.
I don't think he's. I think they'll bring back AJ Hinch. After the one-year suspension is over, that's exactly what they're doing.
I wouldn't be totally surprised.
Just interesting.
It would be just like the Astros to do that, you know?
I'm surprised that James Click, right, was the guy they hired for GM, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they bring back Loonhow, too, if they signed the general manager to a one-year contract, too, or something like that. But honestly, why wouldn't you? Because they're both clearly a great tandem and both very good baseball minds, whether they're cheating or not. I would bring them back.
I don't know how you really could.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I get it. It all comes down to wins and losses. But at some point, there's a PR aspect to that. That would be awful if you brought back Loonhow and Hinch.
You think they care about PR, though?
They don't. But
they got baseball games
to
win.
At some point, they probably will care about that PR aspect. And maybe they do now.
Maybe this is the year they care about it. And then after, then after this year, they're just, all right, here we go again.
That's fair. That's fair.
So I have in the grid here for Around the Horn, Calvin feels old. And that's because I am...
At the ripe age of 13, you feel old?
At the ripe age of 21,
okay.
I feel very old now.
I need to see a birth certificate to prove that you are 21.
Because normally I'm used to looking at professional athletes or famous college athletes and seeing that they are older than me. And that makes me feel solid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the number one prospect, well, now I'm past college, so all the guys who are superstars in college football and whatever are younger than me. But Wander Samuel Franco is the number one prospect in baseball.
On my fantasy keeper team.
On your fantasy keeper team. He was the number one prospect in baseball at the end of last season. He's a superstar by all accounts. He's younger than my sister, Ryan, who's a freshman in college. And this just makes me feel so old.
Welcome to the club.
Like, he is 18. He was 17.
Yeah.
And was a top prospect in baseball. Not the top, but he was in the top 15 when he was 17 and has been one of these people since he was like 16. Wow. I don't know how I'm going to cope with this in 5 years.
Welcome to the club. You'll feel really old when Mike Trout goes into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, man, that's going to be bad. I'm going to have to drink more water than I already do. Keep my skin looking young. Wow.
Water or something else?
Water.
Okay. All right. I had that experience, too, when I was around your age of 13, of, you know.
You just hit your teenage years. You grew your first stubble on your beard, which, exactly. Coincidentally, I cannot grow facial hair.
Yeah. I had a beard when I was 6.
I'm so jealous. I got made fun of in high school because I couldn't grow any facial hair.
I cannot see you with a beard.
I'm not even close.
It'd be patchy and just awful.
Other men have chest hair. I have none.
Okay, now we're now we're getting into the TMI portion
there
of
you go.
Around the Horn.
And Ryan, you have a story for us to close out around the horn.
So I'm getting married in June.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Dun, dun, dun.
Appreciate it. And we just had our first pre-marriage counseling session with our priest. And one of the questions...
Is it Father Time?
Well done.
Oh, I'm so
proud
of
that. That is a 9 out of 10 dad joke.
That was... Given the context... I didn't even think of that when I put it in the grid. Calvin feels old, and we talked about age, and I knew you were going to tell this story. Ah! Oh, that's brilliance.
Amanda once got me a calendar, or she did get me a calendar for Christmas.
When I took over your desk, I saw the calendar of dad jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. When you took over my desk?
Yes.
When I moved desks?
So for the office drama, Ryan is moving offices down the hall.
Yeah.
And so then I just took my rightful position in his old desk because it's nice, it's big, it's plenty of space. I don't even have a desk right now. I don't need a desk, but now I have one.
I don't know about that. I don't think you do. Anyway, back to the story. We had pre-marriage counseling. One of the million questions that Father Steiner, not Father Time, Father Steiner asked was, what is something about your significant other that he does or she does now that concerns you for when you are married?
Okay.
And the number That's one funny. And the only thing that concerned Amanda about me, about how I am today and how I might be in years down the road, is that I have too many Reds jerseys.
Too many Reds jerseys. How many is too many?
I've got... Is 20... An embarrassing
You're
number?
You're kidding.
I've got 20 red jerseys.
You're kidding.
About...
You're kidding.
About...
I was expecting you to say 4.
No, I've 7 or 8 of them don't fit anymore because I lost a lot of weight a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So those are all in a bin in the closet. And I've got 10 or 12 hanging in the closet.
20.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. I could go through all 20 of them that I have.
Give me a couple. I mean, there's no way they're all superstars.
Pete Rose signed jersey.
Okay. Who's Pete Joey Rose made news. He's trying to get into, well, reinstated into baseball.
Yeah, good luck, Pete. Joey Votto.
Okay. Makes sense. Total sense.
I bought a Homer Bailey jersey.
Oh, okay.
After
wow.
His, after
We're
his
on the third name and you're right. already digressing
all
like
right.
this.
After his 2 no-hitters, I bought a Homer Bailey jersey. And about a year after that, I regretted it.
Okay.
Todd Frazier All-Star Game jersey, the same jersey in which he won the Home Run Derby in Cincinnati.
The Todd Father.
The Todd Father. Thank you. What are some other? I got
any of
the
any? I mean,
1901
any,
throwback jersey from okay. this past season that has a collar.
Okay,
it's like that cream white.
Yes, the cream white's very cool.
Yes.
Do you have one of the black pinstripes with black sleeves?
No.
I wish. Dang it.
No, I don't. I have a batting practice Johnny Bench, a batting practice Ken Griffey Jr. I have a throwback Barry Larkin. I have the current road jersey. I've got an old batting practice jersey. I've got another throwback that they wore last year. Amanda doesn't know about that one. I hope she's not listening
she
to this.
She doesn't
right now.
Know about it, and she's concerned already.
I bought it 2 days before she said this last week. It was the last one online, and it was my size. And I said, this is my last opportunity to get this jersey that I so desperately want. It was on the Christmas list. I didn't get it, so I'm going to buy it myself for like $50. Reasonable, right?
You have so many jerseys already.
So?
I guess it's hard for me to relate because I am not a big jersey person, right? So I had a Vince Young Titans jersey, the only Titans jersey I've ever had because I grew up a Titans fan. I had a Jason Hayward jersey. I have a Dansby Swanson jersey and a couple Preds jerseys because I got one for free and one for Christmas.
Okay.
And then one when I was little.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it?
And I never do anything with them, so I'm like, why do I want one? They're very expensive.
Yes, they are. So, I would like to know how much money I have spent in my life on jerseys alone.
So maybe help me figure this out here. What do you do with them?
I wear them to games.
Okay, you do go to Cincinnati like 3 times a week in the summer. So
pretty much. I've got an old alternate jersey. I've got the Sean Casey road jersey.
Ooh.
With the red sleeves, not the black sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Rijo throwback jersey. Do you know who Jose Rijo is?
Don't. No, I was. I had to make the decision in my head whether I was going to play it off or ask who that was.
Okay. He was the ace. He was the MVP of the 1990 World Series. Jose Rijo was.
Wow. Okay.
Fantastic. Made a comeback. I once made a sign at a Reds game for his comeback, and that sign made the Jumbotron.
Whoa.
My five.
That's why you buy jerseys. It gets you.
Yeah. There are a couple others that are too big.
Wow. I mean, all, jerseys are too big.
Though. I don't know how many I just rattled off, but that was my
too
Cincinnati
many.
Reds jersey
too many.
Collection.
Too many. Amanda, you're right.
Like, oh, man.
Let's sound the alarm here.
I really hope she's
get
not
Father Keith
this.
Or whatever his name was.
Father Keith. Father Steiner.
Sorry. I didn't have a name.
Apologize to the father.
I'm sorry, Father Steiner.
Don't apologize to the Todd father, because that is a great nickname.
Okay. Jeez.
I think we've reached the end of the Home Plate podcast. And if you're still listening to us, we appreciate it and we're sorry.
Tweet at me at Smith A. Calvin your complaints, and I will file them away into our very large bin.
Or at Porth Game. Or both of us.
Both of us, please. Hashtag Home Plate Podcast.
For Smith A. Calvin, I'm Porth Game. Thanks for listening to the Home Plate Podcast on thegamenashville.com.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.